Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Bluegrass has traditionally been a guy thing, but the bluegrass tradition has been changing. In recent years, people have been using the term newgrass to describe musicians who incorporate jazz or world music or other sources of inspiration. And a number of the leading newgrass players are women, including the Grammy-winning banjo player Alison Brown. She's also the co-founder and CFO of Compass Records, a rare success story in a struggling music biz. We'll find out more about that in a bit, but first, some live music from the Alison Brown Quartet. Here's Sound of Summer Running live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That is the Alison Brown Quartet with Joe Craven on fiddle. The quartet featuring, of course, Alison Brown on banjo, John R. Burr at our piano, Gary West playing the bass, and Larry Adamaniuk playing the drums. Live in our studio, the sound of summer running from the Alison Brown Quartet. Alison, welcome to Soundcheck.
So much, John. Thanks for having us.
So, you know, there was a time when a woman on stage in a bluegrass setting would have been like a really unusual thing. Now you're practically running the show. I mean, you know, running a record company and all. How did that change happen?
That's a really, really good question, because when I started playing the banjo in the 70s, there were very, very few women in bluegrass, and those that were certainly weren't in leadership roles. And now things have really changed, and in my opinion, with Alison Krauss and, gosh, Lori Lewis, Claire Lynch, Daylan Bradley, the list goes on, Rhonda Vincent, I think those women are probably making the most interesting and cutting-edge bluegrass music that's out there.
Now, you actually cut your teeth with Alison Krauss. I mean, you'd done a lot before that, I know, but 3 years with her and Union Station.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, she and you were more or less contemporaries. When you first picked up the banjo, did you have any role models? Was there anyone out there that you could look at and say, you know, I want to be like her?
No, honestly, there really weren't any girls playing. But, you know, I grew up in, I was born in Hartford and grew up in North Stamford, and my family moved to California when I was about 12. And so growing up in Southern California, I didn't really realize that the bluegrass banjo was such a stereotypical male instrument. So I think that probably helped me. It wasn't until I started, you know, traveling back east and into Appalachia and people said, wow, you sure are good for a girl, that I realized that I was doing something that was maybe a little bit unusual for the genre.
So does that still, I mean, do people still add the for a girl at the end of sentences these days?
You know
days?
What? People don't do that anymore, because I think there are so many girls and women who are such great players, you know, someone like Sierra Hall who's coming up who's playing such great mandolin, that people don't need to say that anymore.
Now, has the music changed as well? And I'm not suggesting that, you know, the influx of women has changed it, but just in parallel, has bluegrass been changing anyway?
Well, I think the influx of women has changed it because, you know, previously it was all male vocals. And I think that high, lonesome sound, while I love it, it's really hard for some people who aren't used to the music to get used to. And so all of a sudden, when there are women singing it and women presenting these songs, I think it makes it much more palatable to a mainstream. So, yeah, I think the music has changed. I think some of the rough edges have been polished off. And I think that there's room for, you know, a little bit of experimentation within the structure and the harmonic structure of the music now, too.
So for you, what does this term newgrass mean?
Well, for me, it means Sam Bush and his band in 1970. That's really where the name came from, was from the Newgrass Revival. So for me, it's, you know, the hippies at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival that were, you know, bugging the traditionalists by playing the music their way. But they were really the first guys who began to push the envelope on bluegrass music and bring a younger audience, I think, and an audience from a different demographic into the music.
Mm-hmm. Sam Bush is still, you know, still out there, still playing, and
yeah, doing great.
But he did, you know, and David Grisman with his so-called dog music, the DAWG.
Exactly. And speaking of David Grisman, we've got a 17-year veteran of the David Grisman Quintet with us today, Joe Craven. So he knows all about the dog music. And the people that's drawn into bluegrass music. So for me, all these things are very, very positive. You know, the core of bluegrass music is still strong. The traditional core is still there, but then there are those of us who are on the fringe of the music drawing new listeners in, and I think that can only be a positive thing.
Is that where you put yourself, at the fringe?
I'd say so. Anytime you've got a banjo alongside a piano and drums, you're pretty much condemned to the fringe.
And yet, you know, strangely, that's a much more palatable and a much more accessible sound for most people who are not bluegrass fans.
That's probably true. I think most people who listen to contemporary music are used to hearing a rhythm section, so that's probably the case.
So is this still an unusually constructed band because of the presence basically of a piano and a drum kit?
Yes, I would say so. I can't really think of any other band that's led by a banjo, but that has kind of basically sort of a jazz trio rhythm section behind it. So it is unusual, but something that's always amazed me is just how well the banjo and the piano go together. And a lot of that, of course, has to do with John R. Burr, who's playing the piano and does kind of an unparalleled job of making the two instruments work together.
I want to ask you about Compass Records, but first, you want to play another song for us?
We could do that.
What do you want to play? We're sort of calling tunes here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Well, you know, when I started playing the banjo in Connecticut, we, of course, called it the banjo. But it wasn't until I moved to the South that I realized that it's also kind of fondly referred to as the five wire. Of course, it's a five-string banjo. It's more like the five wire. So we're going to do a tune called Under the Five Wire.
Called Under the Five Wire, the band that stops on a dime, the Allison Brown Quartet, with special guest Joe Craven on fiddle and mandolin. The band is playing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Rubin Museum of Art in Chelsea. Banjo in the Himalayas. That's kind of an odd combination.
We keep hoping.
So, Allison, in addition to, you know, writing and producing and you know, having a couple of kids out in the ready room there, you and Gary have also co-founded Compass Records. It's a very troubled industry. I mean, you guys have been doing this now for 15 years, so there were some good years in the industry before the current lean ones. Yet somehow Compass has sort of, gone a different route, it seems, from the rest of the industry.
Well, yes, it is a troubled industry, and anytime that times are hard for retailers, times are hard for everybody, because no matter what records you're selling, if retailers aren't buying, it's hard to get the music out there. But one of our things that we really try to do well is to really embrace the consumer and shake hands with the consumer and really work, hard to put the music in the hands of the people who are interested in it, whether it's through artists playing live shows or, through our newsletter and monthly mailings that we do to our e-group. And
so you do have an e-group, but they're not out there doing a whole lot of file swapping, it seems.
Well, we're fortunate because our demographic's an older demographic, and I believe that the people who like this kind of music realize the importance of their role as supporters and almost patrons to this kind of music, and I don't think that they want to do anything to take away from its chance of continuing to prosper. So we don't tend to find people doing that too much with our music.
15 years of Compass Records, some 600 releases, only six of them yours, so, it's a record company for a lot of other musicians as well. And Allison Brown and the rest of the band, as I said, performing tonight at the Rubin Museum at 7 o'clock. The new album is called The Company You Keep, and it is, of course, on Compass Records. Allison, thanks to you and the boys for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having us, John.
And that'll do it for Soundcheck today. Monday, forget detective stories and self-improvement bestsellers this summer. For many, it's the season to set sail on the great American novel, Moby Dick. As part of our series, Music by the Book, we'll look at why the Melville classic has inspired everyone from Led Zeppelin to composer Jake Heggie. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineers today, George Wellington and Edward Haber. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer with Alicia Abbott. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and I'm John Schaefer. Have a great weekend. Be with us Monday for the next Soundcheck.